the Lord's table, which is this morning is a great time for us to do it after we've been preaching through 1 Timothy chapter 3 and before we take elections for deacon and elders. This is a great time to do this. This is a vital ordinance to the body of Christ. And an ordinance that you guys know this, that have been here for any length of time, that we take extremely serious. This is an ordinance that is only for believers. It is not for those who are unbelievers. It is a time for us to come together. And truly, this is, if you really think about this process and really understand the theological implications behind it, this is so important to the church that this should be the beginning of revival. Because if you can think about repenting of your sins and making things right with others, is that not the seedbed of revival? Then why do churches all over America trip through this and you never see spiritual fruit from the Lord's table? A chance for us to experience unity with each other, unlike we rarely have, and especially in our worlds today. Listen, for us to experience unity that we don't have in our own families, our extended families, let's say that, right? It's a chance for us to gather together. You know this. I shared this with you so many times. But I want to just help you remember. This is just one part of that great Passover meal that the Lord shared with His disciples on the night that He was betrayed. The Passover meal was an elaborate meal pointing to Him. And when He came to the cup of redemption in this process, He redefined it and said, this now, when you drink this section of it, do it in remembrance of me. And so the Protestant church for centuries has taken just this part of the Passover meal, and that's why we serve this part. This is one of two ordinances that He's given the church. You know the other ordinance, right? Baptism. And so it's a chance for us to have revival and renewal and experience unity. It's a chance for us to recommit our spiritual lives to the Lord Jesus. You know, in Hebrew tradition, when the groom would come for the bride, he would come through the town, and all the men and all the town folks would follow him because they knew what was about to happen. He would carry a chalice of wine, and he would walk up to the house of his intended, and as it should be, the father answered the door. And the groom would be holding a chalice of wine and he would present it to the father. And the father would call his daughter forth, and if she took that cup and drank from it, she was committing her life to the groom. Guys, you are the bride. You are the bride of Christ. when you come to this table and you lay hold to the cup, you are committing your life to the Lord Jesus again. Amen? So it's a chance for not only revival, renewal, unity, it's an opportunity for you again, one more time, to say, Lord, I give you everything. I commit my whole life to you. As your bride, as part of your bride, I submit to you. You are my head. You are my Lord. I'm following you. Beautiful pictures through all of this. And it's also a time for us to remember and reflect on what the Lord has done. You know, there's two parts of this. There's two parts of this supper. There is the purpose and then the preparation. I've kind of shared some of the purposes. But let's look at this. I've read this to you many, many, many times. But let's look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you have your Bible, which if you're dressed and at church, you should have your Bible. First Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 23 through 26, we see the purposes. And then in 27 through 32, we see the preparation. So let's just read it as a whole, and then I'm going to make some points, and then we're going to take this together. This is the Apostle Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, as the Lord led him through the Spirit to write these things down. We have been given this truth delivered to us. In verse 23, it says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you," which is being delivered to us also, not just the church in Corinth, "that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" That's the purposes. Now let's look at the preparation. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." The purpose. We can remember the work of Christ through this. His work on the cross, his life that he lived. He has said twice here, remember. When you do this, remember. Twice he said that. We come to the table also as a spiritual fellowship. There's a fellowship of with the Lord Jesus. And you may say, well, don't we have fellowship with Him every time we worship? Yes, that is true. But there's something about the Lord calling His church to do this in remembrance of Him and to do this in what He has done. There's a spiritual presence. I was reading this morning, just going through it as I do. Before I serve the Lord's Supper, I want you all to know that there's a checklist that I go through. And part of the checklist is I read chapter 30 in our London Baptist Confession of Faith. That's the chapter over the Lord's Supper. And I read it, and I go through it. And part of the issue, or one of the points, there's 8 points, or 8 sections to it. And one of it is talking about this spiritual presence that's here. That's what makes us distinctly, one of the reasons that makes us distinctly Protestant, is that we absolutely do not believe that the Lord is physically here in the elements, but that we teach clearly that He is here spiritually at this table. And that when you come to it, you're making a decision, like I said, to take the cup from the groom. You are taking this cup. You are committing again to Him. You are doing these things to Him. It's a physical representation of something very deeply spiritual. Right? There's nothing special in this juice and this morning at this wafer. It's juice and wafer. But there is something very serious about us coming to this table and Jesus being our groom. So there's fellowship in this spiritually with Christ. And there's fellowship with the body. I've shared and told you guys this, and is very, very true. But when my grandmother was alive and we would all get together to eat together, there was no fussing, no arguing, no disagreements, no fighting. My grandmother just wouldn't have it. And she wouldn't have to say anything. We just knew. We knew the rules. And none of us wanted to disappoint her. This is one reason why the Lord has given us this table. Because do y'all know how honorary you are? No, do you know? No, seriously. Do you know how difficult it is for us to love each other correctly? But He's given us this table to help us with that. Because when our Lord is at the head, when He is sitting at the table, there's no more fussing, no more fighting, no more arguing. We come together, right? And I'll tell you, and I'll speak for myself personally, but when I was not living right, and I was not doing right, I didn't want to be around my grandma. I mean, I wanted to be around her, but I didn't want to be around her. And that's how it should be with this table, right? We eat also, as Philip said this morning, we eat to anticipate His return. When we come to this table, guys, I'm not joking, this is being serious. But when we come to this table, we need to be reminded, this is not your best life now. That Jesus is coming back. Amen. and he's going to make every... Listen, and we need to get out of this mindset of he's going to make everything right in America. No, he's going to make everything right in the universe. Everything. He's going to make everything. And so when we come to this table, we are proclaiming there, Jesus is coming back. He said he was coming back. And so we see the purposes. Now let's talk about the preparation. As you see, when we do this and we do it in an unworthy fashion, we drink judgment to ourselves. So let me encourage you. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just take this lightly. Don't just tread through it and grab your cup and wafer and head to the hills. But use it. Use it. Use it as a time in your life personally, you and God, to deal with the junk in your life, right? Hello? Let me remind you, okay? Everybody in this room has junk. Some of y'all have a lot of it. Some of y'all less. But we all got it. This is an opportunity to deal and start dealing with this. A time of preparation for you to not just go through it and just lightly skip along, but to be serious about you and the Lord. And I don't want you to come with bitterness. Don't come to the table. Even if you're a believer, if you're sitting there and you're fuming at your spouse, how crazy is it to come to the table with anger and unforgiveness in your heart and take this cup, which represents forgiveness, right? How and there be somebody that you just can't, you're cross-eyed over. It doesn't work like that. If you're taking this cup, what you're doing is saying, Lord, you've forgiven me. I believe that you've done this work in my life. Then how is it that you're holding unforgiveness towards somebody else? That doesn't make any sense at all. No wonder there's no revival in our churches. Amen? No wonder we're not having renewal in our own spiritual lives. No wonder we don't know and take this seriously. Because we come to this table time and time again, and yet we are holding unforgiveness towards somebody else. What? How? How is that possible? Can I tell you this? I don't want to say it doesn't matter. And I really don't want to say that I don't care. Because I do care. And you guys have been, I know y'all's story. You've been hurt. A lot of y'all have been deeply hurt. But I know a lot of your stories too. And you've been forgiven much. Right? So run to this table and be forgiven and forgive, right? Acknowledge the forgiveness that you've received in our Lord Jesus and forgive. Let it go. Amen? Then you will experience renewal and we will experience revival. Let me ask you this, believer. Is it you? Are you the one that's holding back revival at New Hope? Really? Is it you? Is it me? So don't come if you have hatred and bitterness towards another believer. If you have... Now, listen, there's some people that you will not be reconciled with. But have you asked the Lord, have you forgiven them? You can forgive them without them receiving and without y'all reconciling. Does that mean y'all are mature enough to understand that, right? My point is, are you doing your part before God? Let's go on. Don't come this morning, and this is part of number one and two. It all goes together. Don't come this morning without spending time and confessing your sins before the Lord. Use it rightly. Ask the Lord to, we're going to have a time. Ask the Lord to forgive you and go through things. Be specific. Don't just go tread over it lightly. And also, as I've already said, don't come this morning if you're not a believer. If you're not a believer. You know, this table, and when the Reformation happened in 1517, this table that the Protestants started using used to be a tool of evangelism. Fathers would hold their children back. Friends would bring their friends to church and family members to church, and they would say, because they know the spiritual conditions of their heart, no, this is for us. And it should, as people watch and as our children, and when my children were growing up, we held them back from the table. And boy, they longed for it. They wanted it. And we were like, nope. Not until you surrender your life to the Lord. Man, I can't tell you the times, the conversations we've had with our children after the Lord's Supper. And when we bring friends and family to church, we need to be spiritually guided. We need to help guide them. Use it as a tool of evangelism, right? I'm not telling you to judge whether they're in or out of the Lord, but you know them. Help them. So this is how we're going to do this. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord to help us. And then I'm going to uncover and lay out the elements. And then I'm going to close us. And I'm going to give you some time. We're going to have a time of silent prayer. And then I'm going to close us in prayer. And when you're ready, you come and get the cup. Now I'm going to ask these sections to wait. And I'm going to, y'all go first. The COVID sent you guys go first. But then when you're ready, after they go, you come up and get the cup. And listen, hold it. Don't take it. Just hold on to it, because let's do it all together. Okay? And then when I give ample time, and I know that it looks like everybody has come and that's going to take the Lord's Supper has gotten the cup, then I will lead you through it. Okay? Because there's like two layers, you remember from last time. I'll tell you, this is one thing that I can't wait for us to get back to normal. Okay. So I'm going to open us in prayer. And I'm going to give you some time. I'm going to get the elements ready. Then I'm going to close us in prayer. You guys come first and then the rest. And then we're going to take it together. So let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this gift that you have given us in this great ordinance for us to cry out to you, Lord, for you to grant us repentance, Lord, for us to run to you for forgiveness and to also ask for forgiveness and forgive others. Lord, we also are doing this we are reminded of how you died for us. Your body was broken for us, and you shed your blood for us, and you forgave us of our sins through the atonement, Lord. And this reminds us of the sacrifice that you went through, that you were beaten, that you carried your own cross. You hung on a tree for us. And Lord, it's a chance for us to have unity and for us to remember that you haven't left us, that you're coming back. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this ordinance. May you be glorified and honored in it. And may we run to this table. We're not perfect, Lord. We know it. None of us are. We don't deserve it. We're unworthy. Help us to run to this table. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name. I don't want to leave anybody out. Okay. Let's do this together. If you see there's a thin layer on top that you can peel off to get to the wafer. Take the wafer. Wives, help your husbands. There's several wives helping their husbands. They need help. This wafer, this represents our Lord's body that was broken for you and I. Let's take it together. Okay, peel back the next layer. Be careful. Okay, when I see everybody, look up at me. When you're done, I'm going to wait. All right. This represents our Lord's blood that was shed on the cross for you and I. Let's take it together. All right. Well, listen. If you did not take it this morning, that's okay. We're going to have the Lord's Supper again on a Good Friday, okay? So you have a month to prepare yourself and to work on some things and run to this table, and let's do it together. So let's use this table as it should be used, right? To have unity and forgiveness and commitment to the Lord. So we're going to pray together. I'm going to close this in prayer. And then we are going to be dismissed. And we're going to go and have a meal together, fellowship together. Amen? So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time. What a beautiful gift you've given us and how humble we are. And Lord, we pray that you would use this table in our lives. You would change us. You would help us to love better, to love you more, to love each other better, to serve more. Lord, do this work in us for your honor and for your glory alone. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time. And Lord, as we go into fellowship, as we receive and sit down and break bread together, Lord, help us to be mindful that this is a representation. What we're about to participate in is a representation, a small, small picture of how it's going to be that great day in glory when all the family is together and nobody's missing. And you are sitting at the head, and we are worshiping together, fellowshipping together for eternity. Because you told us, Lord, you're not going to take this again until we are with you in glory. So, Lord, as we sit around the table, as we talk and laugh, Lord, we should remember that this is a way for us to think, Lord, where did this food come from? The ability to be here, you've provided this bounty, Lord. You have given us this, and you have placed us in this family to worship and fellowship together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this food we're about to receive. The fellowship may it be honoring to you. Let's enjoy each other and you. Thank you for this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.